What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for episode 124 of the Gamecast. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
I can't talk. I never can talk. I think it's the time. That's what it is. But we are back. We're back with another dope episode for you, talking about all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get into that, I do want to make mention about a couple things in terms of like catching up, if you will.
Uh-huh.
So I did start the Burbs. I told you I was going to start the Burbs with Kiki Palmer. And so far, I am liking it. I want to do a spoiler cast. What I think we're going to do is I'm going to slide Tess a password type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to watch it. And then we're going to talk about it. Because I have thoughts and feelings.
And emotions.
I think that, right? And I really like the writing of the characters, like the dialogue. I think there's a corny but lovable thing that they have going on where none of the dialogue is boring. There might be some stuff that make you roll your eyes, but all of it is very much like, it's almost like, you know how when someone writes something and they're like, ooh, I really want to get into this bit of dialogue here because I want to explore this particular character or unearth some like lingering truth that we've been waiting for. It's like that, but every single line, like from the jump, it is like, oh, he's not just talking about, you know, the past or like his, you know, brief relationship with this person. Like, oh, this is information that we're going to use later. Oh, okay. Let me pay attention. Like, it's really, really good stuff. And so I do want to have, you know, a spoiler cast about that.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really, really dope. I also got to see yesterday, I went to the movies and I got to see, Ready or Not 2, or Ready or Not Here I Come, as they say. Solid naming convention there.
Mm-hmm.
Good film. I'm a fan. I do think the first one was better, but I think it's a good film. I'm not going to say too much about it because I know it literally came out Friday. So, and today's Sunday, just breaking the fourth wall. And so I don't want to spoil anything or like whatever. I'm not going to give any official review or whatever. But if you like the first one, this is more of the same. It makes sense. There was some talk about how the main character didn't really have a sister and she does have a sister. They explain all that within the first 15 minutes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it works pretty well. I don't think it's interesting. It's not as funny. Like there are some really funny moments, but I think holistically is not as funny as the first one. And the brutal moments are more, cause it's, you know, it's violent. The brutal moments are more, they're more intense in a more personable way or a more personal way.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a little, potentially be upsetting depending on who you are. That's all I'll say for now. But beyond that, I think it's a good film. So definitely go check that out. If you like the first Ready or Not, I'm going to be watching, They Want to Kill You, when that drops later this month, because it has a similar premise and it has the woman who played Domino in Deadpool. I totally forgot her name, but she's dope, so I want to go see.
Mm-hmm.
And the trailers looked amazing, so gonna go see that too. And we're gonna eventually talk about that as well. But I wanted to catch up a little bit on what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been playing Resident Evil 9. Shout out to Destiny, who she didn't talk me into it, but she talked me into it. It's been really fun, and so I got that sooner than I thought I would, and I've been enjoying that a lot. Tess,
fun.
You've been enjoying Interview with the Vampire. You were telling me off,
yes,
off camera.
It is the best.
How's
show.
That been going?
It's the best show. I don't know why anybody watches anything else. And I am like on rewatch number 3 because it's just so much fun. I cannot get enough of Brat Lestat. Like, it's just so
Brat Lestat is hilarious.
I'm literally getting a t-shirt made at this time, Lestat the Brat or Brat Lestat. Like, he is out of control. It is just so good. I'm on the floor. It's like, do I care that he just murdered someone, that he just drained the blood out of some innocent 22-year-old that was just getting their life started? I mean, I have feelings on that. But when he turns around and it's literally pouring his heart out to Louis, being like, I love you, Louis. This is not a lie. I'm like, I can't. I can't even be mad at you right now because you are so dramatic. It's so dramatic. It is. It's It's hilarious to me. And I mean, these people are so unhealthy. I mean, let's talk about unhealthy relationships and codependencies and all kinds of things and abuse and all that stuff. It's like, you two don't need to be together, but you do. No one else needs you. You need, no one else in this world should have to suffer for what type of life that you two offer. Like, please. So I've been having a lot of fun with that. I find the show hilarious, and I find the show, it has all the drama that you need and the sadness and all that other kind of stuff. So I cannot wait for season 3 to drop. Drops on AMC in June. I'm so excited.
Nice.
And yeah. Can't wait for Brandstat.
Brandstat.
They call him Rockstat. I mean, in the relationship with between Louis and the Stat is Lou-Stat. And I'm just like, yeah. I love watching Lestat go from, he's so genteel and so calm and so like, you know what, I'm finally in a good place with my lover Louis that I've had for like forever, even though we broke up for like 80 years, and then he's so happy and so content until he finds out there's a book written about him, and then he's back to being his reactions to the smallest irritation or something that Louis would downplay are phenomenal. I'm just like,
sorry. Like, hey man, I've been around a long time. You gotta get my story right.
Get my story right. Hello. And if anybody has seen that clip where he is happy and then all of a sudden he goes to the bookstore, sees this book written about that he's in, and the book cashier is like, ew, that's terrible. And blah, 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 100%, 100%. Oh man, next week he's like, she says to him, she says, would you like a membership? He's like, no. And I'm screaming. He was just so serene in the scene before. And then now he's screaming and his hair is frizzy. So yes, I am obsessed. And that is all I'm watching because I can. And what else was I doing besides that? Trying to play The Sims, but I can't because Sims is broken.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We've been meaning to give y'all new episodes of All My Sims. They're gonna be here. Just gotta work on some stuff, and potentially get a new laptop. So just be on the lookout. Be on the lookout. We have a lot of stories to tell you. Well, Manny. I should say, Tess has a lot of stories to tell you because goodness, just the stuff that we're missing.
I mean, you guys don't even know my main sim is pregnant with triplets from a vampire. Like
who? What? This is passions.
You need to know these things, and you can't, man, because my computer sucks, and also the Sims game is just like, what are they doing? They like made a new marketplace and it's horrible and everybody's computers are breaking because of it. Like, fix it.
Yes, they need to fix it. Speaking of fixing it, this actually brings us to our first topic, the Oscars. And it's not going where you think it's going to go. For the most part, I'm actually pleased with how the Oscars went. There were some things that, you know, when we spoke with Destiny, she made predictions about who would win. And she's pretty much spot on for the most part. And, you know, there were some things that I once I heard certain announcements, I was like, yep, they're going to go this way. And so I was kind of preparing myself to hear certain things. And to my surprise, though, I was happy that, there was a lot for the, was it Korean? What is it? Was the Korean animation?
K-pop Demon Hunters.
So I was really pleased with that. One is animation, and I'm a big animation fan.
Yeah.
But then two, it was a moment for, the Korean artists to actually get some shine. And you know, they actually went up and they were saying that during their speech, how they were talking about how this is one of the first, you know, times we were able to do this. And people kind of got it misconstrued. They were like, you know, well, what about, you know, Parasite? And it's like, well, she meant animation. She wasn't talking about all Korean cinema.
Movies, yeah.
Right. She was talking about animation. Like, they beat Disney.
Yeah.
And mind you, Disney hasn't won in, I think, the past 2 years or 3 years. But they still beat Disney with some tough competition.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? So I'm like, it wasn't a small feat. And the fact that it was on Netflix, I do think it had a stint, like a minor stint in theaters. But for the most part, it's a Netflix film
yeah.
that beat out some major, you know, Hollywood champions over there.
Yeah.
Right. So that was really, really dope. So I was surprised about that. I was also surprised that horror got a lot of nods. And what I mean by nods, wins. We don't typically see this.
Yeah.
For instance, there's only been 9 horror films that has ever been up for the Best Picture Award in the history. And only one of them has ever won. And that was Silence of the Lambs, duly like deserved.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I feel like horror is finally getting, maybe not finally, but it's getting better in terms of not being snubbed. Like,
right.
I feel like people look at horror and they see the lowest common denominator. They see the worst of the worst. And horror is actually really, really good as a genre. And even the ones that win, the films that win, like drama, anything drama, there's a lot of trash drama.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of daytime TV bad, this is not good drama.
Yeah.
And it wins, you know? And so the one thing we have to be mindful of, though, is that these type of things happen in a kind of like in a bubble. So even though, you know, because people are looking at the Oscars as a cumulative thing where, like, well, if this won Best Picture, then that means it's in the realm of all these other Best Pictures. No, no, no. It's Best Picture for that year.
Yeah.
That's it. So whatever came out between whatever date and whatever date is what you have. It's not saying that, you know, Sinners was better than, you know, Schindler's List or whatever. I think it is, but whatever. it's not saying
still
that.
Still haven't
it's
seen
just
that
saying
movie.
Is that it's good.
Schindler's List, I mean.
It's a good film. you know, just be mindful of what you're going to be intaking before you watch it. Because it's not, you know, it's not the most hopeful, if you will. But yeah, like, it's not saying that. What it's saying is that these are the films that are competing for this year. And you have to look at it from that, you know, that lens. And good stuff. You know, Sinners took home 4. Shout out to them. Ryan Coogler got his first with the Best Original Script.
Proud of him.
Super, super freaking awesome. And the fact that it wasn't a sequel or anything like that. His homie, Ludwig, I think that's how you say his name, got another one for, you know, the music. And Michael B. Jordan got Best Actor, which I feel like everybody knew this because...
Well, they're the voters.
When he won, well, not so much the voters, but I mean, even the people that were in the audience, like, they were pleased that he won.
Mm-hmm.
Like even the people he was competing with were like, yeah, you should have got that. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, he did it a phenomenal job. This is the best he's ever done. And it was well-deserved, well-deserved. I'm glad he got all the accolades. And I'm glad he was actually able to finish his speech, which is one of my issues with this whole thing, beyond who won and who didn't win, right? We got to be better. We got to be better, dog. Like, lowering the mic on someone as they're talking is wild. Like, even Conan was like, what is happening? What is happening? I think the Korean artists went back up there for their second Oscar. One person kind of, you know, did their thing. And then the second person came up and they turned the lights out. And I thought they were going to come back, like, because that's what they've been doing. They start to cut someone short and then people would feel away and they would bring it back so they could finish what they were saying. And they didn't. And the crowd started booing because they wouldn't let them talk.
Nice.
And I was like,
go crowd.
Like, ooh. Yeah, they were like, come on, like, this is a big deal. Like, these aren't like, you know, I mean, these aren't like little medals they're getting. These are Oscars, you know? And a lot of these are firsts, you know, like, this is a first time this has ever happened, you know, situation.
They needed to pull a Halle Berry because she made sure they didn't cut her off. She cried and said, what
right?
you won't like, do is.
Or Lindo is like, I'm not speeding up. I'm not doing that. Nope. I'm standing here. And he still talked. He still spoke, even though the lights went down and everything. He still stayed there for a while speaking. So I don't know if people could hear him in the audience, but we couldn't hear him at home, unfortunately. But I think, like, they really need to, instead of having, you know, all the jokes and stuff that took forever, I think you should really just let people have their moment.
Right.
Like, I understand it's a show. You have commercials you got to run and all this other stuff, but just take out some of the jokes.
Yeah.
Just take out some of the jokes. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be this big thing where... It
doesn't have to be this huge production.
You know, like, a five-minute, like, announcement for something you worked for however many years and you got an award for is wild. Is wild to me.
Yeah, they give them 10 seconds. And then the way that they did
it. Yeah, then they were so disrespectful about it. Like, lowering them. And the dude is tall. Like... Like he was like leaning over, like, hey, wait, no, come back. Like,
I want to win something and have them take the mic away from me and be like, oh, sorry, couldn't say thanks to you guys. Bye. He's like, I didn't write the speech anyway. I didn't think I was going to win.
Right. So, yeah, I think, you know, it was cool. And I did watch it from, you know, from beginning to end, which is something I haven't done in a very long time. Again, shout out to everyone working on Sinners, because that's why.
Right. That
and, you know, the other horror film like Frankenstein and Weapons, I really enjoyed.
That was really good.
Yeah, and I'm glad, you know,
Guillermo Jose is my Spanish teacher from high school.
Shout out to Señor Moya. Guillermo
oh, snap.
Jose Moya. Guillermo del Toro, sorry.
Yes. Shout out to him. Always a big fan, and you know, I'm glad horror was recognized.
Yeah,
and they actually won. They you know, they didn't sweep, but they did a really good job. The only film that really did kind of beat them was totally not Marty. Hilarious.
Oh my god, poor Timmy.
I don't even. Anyways,
Timmy.
One battle after another, which I still think is mid. Sorry,
I know you said.
Still think it's mid, but you know. I think
reviews on that too, and people were like, for me not seeing it, but seeing what I've seen was actually like really good like commentary where it was like,
yeah,
yo, you guys had so many themes that could, if you had just went deeper, would have been better, but you glossed on them.
It was a lot of, how do I say? So for me, it was a lot of, and I'm going to stop because I don't hate the film.
Yeah.
Right. It's just the fact that it's been talked about a lot, but to be like one of the best films of the year, I just don't see it. Like, and I think some of it could be because I'm just, for whatever reason, I'm just not there with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But then another reason could be like, I think it's the messaging. There's some strong messaging here,
mm-hmm.
even though it's a lot of it is surface level. There's some strong messaging here. And I think the timing of it really like, you know, resonated with people because of the times we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then there's also some good stuff. You know, there's some good stuff. Leonardo, you know, his acting is amazing. You know, there was some really cool cinematography. So there's one segment with him running through the streets that was like really, really good. And I was like, okay, I can see how people like this film. It just goes like, it's like a plane going up and down. Like, it goes down and it goes up and it goes down and goes up. And it's just not good all the way through. And so for it to win Best Picture was like, I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest complaint was more so of how they were treating people when they were giving their acceptance speeches. I think that was in poor taste. And considering we had another award show that was already had all sorts of controversy, I think you kind of want to keep it clean. I mean, you're far away from the slap, so that's good. But for the most part, you kind of want to, you know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
But you said you were able to see like clips and stuff.
Yeah, I just saw the Entertainment Tonight clip. Like, that's it. And
okay,
that was,
okay.
You know, I was like, there you are, Kevin Frazier. It was like, didn't you disappear from Married at First Sight? Because you on Entertainment Tonight. That's why. Yeah, upgrade. Yeah, just saw, you know, some red carpet stuff, some red carpet outfits, and just, you know, Michael B. Jordan and his mom and his dad. And I was like, that was so cute. And being like, my dad flew in from Ghana. I was like, oh, big up, Ghana.
Right.
Just, you know, little stuff like that, but nothing important. Like, nothing like. I mean, I saw like who won. I saw K-pop Demon Hunters won. I saw.
Right,
like,
right.
But one part that got me on the recap was, I don't mean to, like, I'm not trying to pick, but
right.
They were saying people's names, okay?
they were saying the names of people that most of us already know. Like when they were saying Michael, they were talking about Michael B. Jordan. They were like, and he beat out Leonardo. And it was like, okay, as if that's hard. There's been plenty of times that Leonardo's been beaten out of him.
Right.
It was just a comment. And I was like, wait, huh? I mean, I've literally watched him lose before.
Yeah, people started hating like a lot. Like there was the idea like he went to the In-N-Out Burger or the In-N-Out place to get a burger, and people not understanding that that's like a tradition. After you win, like you go there to eat.
Get a burger.
They're like, Michael B. Jordan is trying to be too humble, like, you know, and it's like, dog, like why? What is like, the
what? Shut up.
What is the beef with him all of a sudden?
Right.
Like I could have sworn we were just like saluting him not too long ago. Like, what happened?
And then they were talking about Sinners and they were like, oh, you know, Sinners winning big. Ryan Coogler winning his first best feature or something like that, whatever. Right. And then they're talking about how him and Michael have been working together forever, blah, 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 Fruitvale Station, blah, 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 right? And then the next thing they go, and then these other actors were the way it was said. They said, and then these two other actors. And I'm like, Wunmi Masako, what? Other?
Like, right.
I was like, are you talking about the diva? Are you talking about my girl? Like, did you not see this woman act in what was that show that we liked so much? The horror show with the other guy who's crazy who's not King the Conqueror anymore.
Lovecraft.
And I'm sitting here like, wait, and then did you guys not watch her in Black Mirror? Like, are we
or
playing
his
around?
House?
Right? Or
like, come on, fam.
Or fucking Loki and shit. Like,
right. Right.
Like, I'm like, I was a little thrown by what they said. These two other actors, I said, they have names. Yeah.
And you know, I don't want to do, like, as much as I would like to speak on certain things, I'm trying my best not to when it comes to just to outlets in general.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem, right? We have been a lot of stuff around Sinners, especially, but Black media, like our the stuff that we put out, we are hypersensitive to stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think that we do it to our detriment sometimes. And I spoke about this about Variety. People will not let it down at all.
Yeah.
But when it does happen, it's like, okay, here's an example. Let's focus on this. But unfortunately, it gets lumped in with all the stuff that didn't actually happen.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go down this road again with y'all. Like it's just like, look how they said, you know, Michael B. Jordan is, there was one where, so the report came up and it was like, sources are saying that Michael B. Jordan is demanding a certain amount of money now that he's won an Oscar. And people are like, why are you using the word demanding? The thing is, though, this outlet isn't saying that. The outlet isn't saying that. The outlet is reporting what other people are saying. Like that's, so they're like, if you're like, you know, the Gamecast spoke to this representative and this representative is saying that Michael B. Jordan is doing ABC. And then we report that. And then they're like, oh, the Gamecast doesn't like Michael B. Jordan all of a sudden. And I'm like, no, that's not how reporting works.
Right.
They're basically saying that this person is saying that this is happening behind the scenes, not that we are saying it. We don't know. We're just getting the information, right? And so there's this big hoopla about the word demanding. And I'm like, that's not what we should be concerned with. This is not, that's, do you guys not know reporting? And I think that it's the internet. Unfortunately, social media has broken people's brains, I think.
Yeah, completely.
You know, they're getting mad at the wrong things. However, that being said, I have seen some stuff where, like you just pointed out, where they're saying certain things about people in a, you know, not so kind way. And it's like, I see what you're doing. Stop it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Please stop.
I just wanted to kind of, you know, just keep this healthy divide. Like, you're doing some BS, not so much of them. Mm-hmm. You feel me? But yeah, respect the actors. Respect them.
They have names. Know? Like, get out of here.
Right, and just because I can't pronounce them all the time, that has nothing to do with how
nothing
I feel about
to do
them.
With anything. Like,
I just suck at names. That's just what it is. I could barely introduce Tess on the freaking Gamecast.
Like, and my name has one syllable, y'all.
Right? I'm like, and it's me and this other person that I've been doing this for like 2 years with. Like what?
I be getting it. It happens to my brain too, especially with concussion number 16 happening a couple months ago. I still can't talk. So I don't know.
It'd be like, hey, look, maybe I'm at that age. The later it gets, the tougher it is for me to remember stuff. It's just what it is.
That's what they
say. I'll have everything ready before we hit play, and then it flies out of my brain. Mind you, I have notes.
Okay, that's bad.
I'm like, what did I write here again? Oh, man. So the second thing we wanted to talk about, which I think is interesting, is how long should we give bad media before we bounce? Let me preface this with a couple things, right? So two reasons why I brought this to the table, right? One of them is because there's a new game they just released not too long ago called Crimson Desert.
I saw that.
And yeah, people are losing their minds over it. And a lot of the discourse, or at least a lot of the reviews that I'm seeing, they kind of start with, hey, this game really gets good after 8 hours. Like, for the beginning is going to be whack, but after 8 hours, after 10 hours, things are going to be better and you're going to love it, right? And then there's, you know, it gets mixy from there. Like, some people are like, you know, the controls are bad. These things are bad. The developer has come out and said, hey, we're going to work on that. There's a whole issue with AI and all this good stuff. And they had to, you know, kind of apologize for that as well. So it has other issues beyond that. But that wasn't really what I wanted to talk about. It was more so about this idea of the hours put in before something is good. I also saw this with television shows where people would be like, hey, you know, you got to get past season one. Once you get past season one, then you're good. Or I've had this happen too, especially with anime. Just skip the first season. Just skip it. I'm like, how bad does it have to be for you to be like, hey, dog, just skip it? Like, is it integral to the story? Like, why are we skipping a whole season of content? Right. And so that being said, it is a natural thing that we do. Like, at least people like bring it up in terms of defense, especially if it's something that they love. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I want to know, and people in the comments, you can kind of put in, you know, whatever. What is your limit? Like, how long do you wait on something that is supposed to be great, but is perceived to be like, you just perceive it as really, really bad early on? You know, I'm super glad that I got through one battle after another, but early on, it was kind of whack for me. It's like, it was not good. I stopped the movie and tweeted like, what the f- is going on type stuff.
Yeah.
Right. But I did finish it. Unfortunately, it was still mid. Beyond that, though, I'm wondering, right? I'm wondering, how long should we wait? And does it behoove you to do that when there's so many other options out there? You know, TV shows, there's just a ton of them on streaming platforms. There's other films you can get into. There's video games you could play that are immediately good right away. For instance, playing Resident Evil 9, I was just talking about it, and there is a moment in that game where I'm like, oh, this is where the real game starts. This is where it opens up and all of the things that you were learning up until this point actually matter, and it feels like the story is starting from here. And at the same time, though, it hooks me right away. And it's really good up until that point. It just gets better, right? And so I think about books. If you guys out there still read, I'm reading a book. If I can't get past the first chapter, I ain't finishing. I don't know if this is an age thing, although I'm pretty sure I didn't do that when I was younger. I don't know if this is a reviewer thing where like the reviewers had to finish it. So they're like, hey, Crimson Desert, 8 hours in, it gets better, y'all. Or if people are just like, I invested this amount of money, I just need to finish. You know what I'm saying? So I have all these questions. I have none of the answers. So yeah, Tess, how long do you typically give something that is, you know, people are telling you it's good, but then they preface with, hey, you got to get through A, B, and C. Like, how long do you give a piece of media?
Well, it really depends on which one of my mental disorders is ruling my brain that day, that week, that month, or that year. I didn't mean to make you spit out your soda, but that's just damn true. Okay.
Okay.
So whether it is ADHD, the autism, or anything else, okay, it really depends. Because if I'm hyper-focused, then I'm hyper-focused even if it's shot. And right, I have a good example on this.
because sometimes my desire to complete something is stronger than my desire to hightail it out because it's stupid. So a good example of that is one of the worst books ever written, The Devil Wears Prada. Amazing movie. Okay. Amazing movie, horrible book. And I struggled so hard to get through this book. I was like, this book is such trash. It is, it's just, it's so bad. Like, this book is bad. And I know some people probably be like, oh, you, why do you feel like that? But no, I feel like that book is terrible. And I struggle. Honestly, I got to very, very close to the end. And it's so funny to kind of say this out loud, but I was probably, I don't know, maybe 30 pages from the end. And I was like, fuck it, I quit. Like, and at that point, you're, people will just finish it. And I'm like, no, because I can't do it. I cannot. Yeah. This, I've given it the chance. And now I have gotten more than 3/4 of the way through. I am now 7/8 through the book. And I have finally decided, not just realized, I realized it was bad 1/4 way through the, not even 1/4 through the book, 1/8 through the book. And right. I gave it a chance to get better and better and better because the movie was so effing awesome. And here I am now 20 pages from the end of the book. And I'm like, no, screw it. I'm done. Which I did end up going back and finishing those 20 pages, maybe like 2 weeks later, because I don't like to just quit like that. And
shoot.
And this is one of those things where it's like, I don't want my time back. I just want my brain back. I want to go back to the point before I ever read it because it was that damaging to my soul because it was that bad. So again, depending on what part of my brain is ruling, is it the I hate myself part that's ruling my life? Or is it the I value my time and my soul so much more than whatever this is worth? Because I have started to play a game and say, this sucks, and I've quit. I have started a book and said, this sucks, and I quit. I started a movie and said, this sucks, and I quit. But I will say that I think due to my personality quirks, that's not normal for me. I normally will zone in or I'm not zoned in at all. So, but I do have that hyper focus, and I have committed to it because what in A Song of Ice and Fire, book 4, which I hate, I struggled so much with that book because I just think it's terrible. It's just a badly written book, but I'm in the series now, and I have now borrowed book 4 and book 5 from somebody else who's loaned them to me. Like, I own book 1, 2, and 3. Didn't I get those from a library? I don't own those hoes. I've borrowed these two books now from somebody else. They've loaned them to me. And I have to get through this. Like, I have committed myself.
Right.
And I am struck. And honestly, I think one of the reasons why I barely remember anything that happened in that book, outside of the fact that nothing happened in that book, but barely remember anything that happened in that book because I was just so glazed over. Because it was that bad. But I committed to the whole series versus just committing to a single book. And so, you know, there have been other things. Here's a good example of video games. You know, I play Dynasty Warriors.
Right.
Like, no matter how ridiculous Dynasty Warrior is, I'm going to play it, right? Except the open world version. I never played it because I didn't have the system for it. I don't think they made it for Xbox, so I never played it. But back in the day on PlayStation 2, they did make 3 different kinds of Dynasty Warriors. So they had the main Dynasty Warriors game, and then they had the Extreme Legends game, and then they had the RPG, which I started to play because I'd never played it before, and then I got it and I started playing it. I think I was in that game for 20-30 minutes, and then I never played it again. I could not get into that. I was like, what is happening here? I don't know if I couldn't figure it out, or if maybe it's not my kind of game. I don't know, but I gave it about 30 minutes and I said, yeah, this is going back. I think I rented it. And I'm like, yeah, we're taking this back within the 30 minutes that I had it so I can get another game. So maybe it doesn't answer anybody's question for real, but it really does matter who is Mercury ruling my brain that day, or is Venus ruling my brain that day? Is it Saturn? Because Saturn's a trash planet. And Saturn likes to take all kinds of stuff and just put it in its orbit and just keep it around. So is that me that day? Or is it, am I Pluto ruining the orbit of Uranus that week, or Neptune, you know? Like, am I just going to crash and burn and say, nah, F these books, they suck, or F this game is stupid. Let me go break a CD. Like, I don't know, but just some things. Normally my personality is I commit and I, because I don't love myself enough. And then the other times I'm like, no, I value my freedom, and I don't want this to be in my head rent free. So let me keep it moving.
It could be tough. Like, I know, like, for me, it's mainly the time.
Yeah.
Like I say, I don't want to, I'm not regretful of it, because I'm like, the curiosity was what made me get it in the first place, yeah, or whatever the case. So I'm glad I'm not curious anymore. But at the same time, I'm like, I could just be doing so many other things right now, and I typically have to do other things eventually. Why am I wasting my time? Now, to be fair, I have watched some stuff where I thought it was going to be bad. I went in thinking it was going to be bad, and it was bad starting out, and it got a little bit better, but uh-huh, that was more so under the idea of I have nothing better to watch and I'm killing time. Let me just see what this is about. And I don't really care if it's good or bad. Like, that's happened before. Or like, I was watching, there's a show that it messes with my brain. There's a Korean zombie show, and it's supposed to be like a fake game show where people are trying to survive a zombie apocalypse, but I don't know if they don't know they're on the show, or if the show is a, it's so weird because they'll be serious, like someone dies and they're like, oh my God, someone died, and they're all sad, and then someone cracks a joke and they are all laughing, and like they break the fourth wall, and I'm like, I don't know how to feel. And I think that alone makes me want to continue watching it. Like, I don't think it's necessarily good, but it's like, I'm curious to how you guys make sense of it all as we go on. You know what I mean? Like, there's a weird thing where I'm in this now. I'm gonna continue, but I know it's not good. But that's different from like I'm expecting this to get better, and it's taking a while, and I'm giving it a chance with the you know, idea that it's gonna get better, and then it doesn't. That part is where I'm like, nope, we need to go ahead and stop. Just stop it.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm thinking if it's a video game, I might give it 3 hours. And that's pushing it, but I might give it 3 hours. The genre does matter, because yeah, I know RPGs are a little slower as they're introducing things, but I think you can mitigate that by having some really cool action or something, like something really cool story-wise to kind of hook people, you know, early on. You could pull a Bardo where like they show him years later in the beginning, and then you go backwards into the present or whatever, right? And it's like, oh, this is gonna be cool eventually, like that little hook or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like just being trash until you get better is not a good selling point. It's just not. Salute to everybody who, you know, is on that. I'm not.
Look,
I can't do it anymore.
That was Wheel of Time. Like, remember, I quit Wheel of Time halfway into season one. I was like, I can't do this. And then I finished season one. I said, I'm not going to do season two. And then season three came out, and then everybody was talking about it, and they were like, this is the best season. And it got canceled.
Well, people already felt like we got, you know, we got tricked with the other season.
Right.
So they probably didn't come back for the actual good one.
Right.
I have returned. I will say that.
Yes.
Where something, you know, like, you know, X-Men 2 situation.
Yeah.
Where like, oh, this is so much better.
Yes.
Then now I have to return.
Right.
I have done that. But I've never sat through the mess to get there, though.
Like, right. Just go directly there. Just go.
Exactly. Oh, let me go right. let me go right. Let me read a synopsis. let me, you know what I mean? Let me skip.
Yeah.
The next thing we wanted to talk about is something I find really interesting is the whole, so Val Kilmer, as we know, he passed away, I want to say last year.
God rest his soul.
He passed in 2025. And so there's a story that came out on Variety. I know that's your favorite. That's your favorite spot, people, but just rock with me. Shout out to Brent Lang over there. Excuse me. He wrote about how Val Kilmer is going to be in a movie called As Deep as the Grave, which I'm seeing as ironic right now as I read this, considering what's happening, but he's supposed to be in the movie via AI. So this is not him in a sense of like, you know, he shot scenes and then passed away and then they're finally coming out now. This is something where like he never shot anything. And the director wants to put him into the film. And so the director, I can't say his first name. We're going to say his last name, Voorhees, which is also hilarious. He was saying that he built the character around Val Kilmer. And, you know, it drew upon, you know, some personal stuff with his Native American heritage and his love of the Southwest and all these other things. Like, it was genuinely created for Val Kilmer. And so he's like, I want to have him in the movie, even though he's passed. And so he was thinking of using a state-of-the-art generative AI to put him in the film. And he got the blessings of Val Kilmer's daughter, his estate, and I believe his son as well is also supportive of the move. His family, or I believe his daughter, came out and said that he was very big on new technology and, you know, how that could be disruptive to the current landscape of filmmaking and stuff like that. And so they're saying that's kind of in line with how he would have felt. They're, you know, and I believe they're saying that they think he would wanted to have done this. And so for me, I have a few different thoughts on the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because this has happened before, but not in the same way. Mm-hmm. I want to say there has been CGI used to put people in films,
mm-hmm,
and to de-age them and stuff like that, and to give them a speaking part, either have them have something that was recorded and like is chopped up to make it sound like they're speaking now, or just old dialogue. They did that with I want to say one of the Star Wars movies.
Yeah,
I think it was Rogue
One.
I could be
wrong.
And so there's a thing that this happens, and you know, you have to get this state approval and all this other stuff. And again, I'm a little shaky on this because I don't know, even though the family believes it, and we kind of have to take their word, right? Because it's the family. We also don't know. Val Kilmer has never said, if I pass away, put me in AI. Like, it's not, mm-hmm, like it was in his will or anything, because they would have brought that up. And so I'm like, did he, like, we're kind of speaking for him, or not us, but they're kind of speaking for him in this regard. He can't defend himself. Maybe he does like new technologies, but, you know, maybe he's talking about the, you know, a cool way of shooting something versus generative AI, which actually, as we all know, steals from other places to form whatever this new piece of, I'm putting, you know, quotations of art.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if he would feel okay about that, you know. And then there's the idea of just seeing it and knowing that it's AI, knowing that it's not him, and having this weird uncanny valley situation,
uh-huh,
where it looks almost real enough, but you know that it's not real. Like, your eyes do this thing where it's like, it makes it eerie and uncomfortable, because you feel that there's no soul there, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
And this is a problem that we've had with CGI, where they would do, like, for instance, the Pirates of the Caribbean, the first Pirates of the Caribbean, this is something that the creators behind that had to work on, because when they did the CGI for the people, even though they had like prosthetics and stuff like that, when they layered the CGI on, the eyes, it didn't look like a real person.
Mm-hmm.
It was close, but not right there. So they either looked dead, which, I mean, they were, but they looked dead, or it was like, this is something is not clicking in your brain. And so your brain doesn't want to fill in the gaps. And so you're stuck with this weird thing that makes you feel uncomfortable, right? And so if he's going to be a major role in this film, you don't want that to happen. And we all know of AI, you know, not having all your fingers, you know, stuff being merged into other things and all this other, like, it's just, there's a lot of creepy stuff with that. And so I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
Not a fan of it at all. And, but I'm curious, you know, what other people thought about it, or what people are thinking about it. There's a lot of people talking about the situation, and most people are kind of leaning on the side of like, well, if the family wants it, the family estate is cool with it, why should we be upset? And, well, I just gave you some reasons. You know what I mean? What were your thoughts when I you know, sent that over to you?
I thought it was so weird when you sent me that, and you saw my response, my right, one word right. in response, like, this is hella weird. You sent me that. I read it immediately. As soon as you sent it to me, I read that Variety Report, our favorite news outlet. I said, WTF. And right. I was already exhausted. I was already tired. Okay. I was laying in my bed and you sent this to me and I read it. And then I was like, oh, come on.
Right. Yeah.
I just out loud was like, come on. So what can we say? The family says it's okay. I right. just thought in my mind, I was like, oh, okay. Well, this is what we're doing now. Because I saw a Black Mirror episode on this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, come on. I totally understand. This is like a very interesting and kind of sad situation. Like, Val Kilmer had throat cancer and couldn't speak anymore. And
right.
he really, really wanted to do this, but couldn't. And couldn't shoot. I don't know if this was a situation where he and his people thought he would get better so they could just delay the movie until he got better. Because why wasn't this a choice while he was alive?
Yeah.
And then it would have been like, you have my blessing to do this while I'm still here so I can be part of it and, you know, figure out, oh, you know, yeah. tweak this, change that, da da da, blah blah blah. Maybe my mannerisms can be used, but you can film my mannerisms, and we'll have to chop and screw the voice because he can't speak anymore. Type stuff, you know.
Right.
Because
right.
in a similar vein, Billy Connolly was not able to shoot for The Hobbit, and so they did CGI. Billy Connolly, which I hate.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like those movies anyway, but I do love me some Billy Connolly. And it was weird. And I don't know. I just felt like, well, if he is going to be in a significant portion of this film, then what's to stop everybody else from being recreated by AI and being put into films? And
yeah, aside from law, in the sense that, well, because I can see somebody suing them.
Yeah.
But if you get a hold of the estate, if they sign away their rights, not thinking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You know,
and who
it's kind of
do that for a couple of dollars.
I mean, it's been up there. And that's something that, you know, the whole guild is working on as we speak. But like, yeah, it's like, it's more so troubling, not so much on the person who signs their rights away, but it's troubling on the person who passed away and they no longer are in control.
Right.
Like, for instance, we know that Prince, for instance, didn't want any tributes for him.
Yeah.
Like when he passed, and people did it anyways. And it's like, well, you know, even if we go like the family or the estate or whatever the case may be, like, no, he said, I don't want this. Mm. And he did it anyways. So like, is it possible, and I'm not accusing anybody in this situation, but I'm saying in other situations, could it be possible that the family is like, yeah, go ahead, because it's money.
Right.
The person's not here anyways. They can't defend themselves. So, yeah, go ahead and do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's that's the scary part.
Well, what's scary is yeah. that what if it gets worse? What if it's like, let's just murder this person so that we can get them in this film that they didn't want to
okay.
be in. I'm just saying that where does it end? Because
that's look, pretty far. I'd tell you that.
That is, it's far down the line, but it is possible. The thing is that it is possible. It starts off consensual, even though we don't know that he consented because he's dead. So
yes.
we don't know. It's just his daughter and son being like, yeah, this is a great idea. Oh my God. Yay. And who knows, it might end up being a great movie. We might be like, oh my God, it looks like Val Kilmer, like for real, for real. We might even say all that. But like, I'm just saying, I did see this in a Black Mirror episode.
That's what I'm saying. No more Black Mirror for you.
No more Black Mirror. I mean.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Some of this stuff is not like, okay, the whole thing about recording people's dreams and stuff, that may never come to fruition because you can't do that. But
right,
getting people to sign away their likeness is extremely easy, especially when in that episode of Black Mirror, all it was like a cell phone agreement.
Yeah.
It was literally just a cell phone agreement. And it was like, oh, well, your camera takes pictures of you all the time in video. And so now Netflix is allowed to use that because yay. Like, I'm just saying it can be, it's as simple as the terms and agreements on your TikTok arrangements. It's simple as the terms and agreement on the CVS website now, which now takes all of your health information that you're searching for. Like,
yeah, it's wild.
You're just, all you're doing is searching to try to get the best price on freaking Advil liquid gels. And next thing you know, it's reported to the government what you were searching for at a pharmacy because you might be trying to help somebody get an abortion. I'm just saying it never ends where we think it ends. So if this is supposed to be the new thing, we're already having issues with the deep fakes and stuff, but if this is the new thing, then the possibility of it going left is so strong.
Well, you do have a point, because I remember with the Stan Lee thing where they were talking about how it seemed like he was under duress, like he wasn't healthy enough to say what he really wanted. And the people who had the power of attorney were kind of like manipulate. I don't know if they were. This is all alleged.
Right.
But like we're manipulating him and basically working to control his money, control, you know, his likeness or, you know, estate or whatever, until he ended up dying. Right. And so that could be something where maybe people aren't necessarily like, oh, there's Denzel Washington, let me shoot him and then take his rights type stuff. But it could be something in a sense of like, oh, he's ailing, he's getting older.
Right.
And so let me get in good. Let me try to, you know, and then try to acquire the estate or acquire whatever rights I can.
Yeah.
So when he does pass, I can now sell this to the highest bidder. Right, to you know what I mean? So I can see a place where that happens, not necessarily just outright murder, but in a sense of like, we're going to manipulate and, because that was something with the whole thing with Britney Spears, Wendy Williams, even though they're alive, but the idea of like, they're someone saying that they're not medically or like, they're not healthy, so I have to come in and speak for them, and then you set up stuff for you to get paid or for you to get whatever. You know what I mean? So I can't see that happening. And I can see that happening.
And in this particular situation, if they're able to recreate him into a generous portion of this film, then it can be done with anybody. And a person does not have, they literally do not have to be alive to be in new movies. That is the thing.
Right.
For this person can forever be in, they can, whoever owns them after they are dead will make the money. And these people are literally dead. And then five more movies are out. Like, it's almost like Tupac releasing 17 albums after he died, but he's not on the island. It's like, no, we know the person said we went to their funeral, X, Y, and Z. They're like, oh yeah, I would love to go see that new Sean Connery. Hasn't he been, what are you talking about? I didn't, when did he, what? Mandela effect, like what? Like, no. You know?
It's Mandela like, effect for someone's like being alive is wild.
That's wild.
That is crazy.
Literally wild.
Oh, man.
It's usually the opposite.
Right?
Like, it's like, wait, when did he die? He's been in, like, I watched his movie. Like, I've been watching, he has a new movie coming out next month. You're like, man, it's literally been, wow.
Yeah.
Posthumous Oscars?
That's just... That's a whole thing too. Like, I don't know. How do we even, I think one of the cool things about, or not cool, that's probably not the best word, but I think one of the things that's makes someone's work stand out even more, or is you're more appreciative. That's the word I'm looking for. You're more appreciative of someone's work. In a sense that they can no longer make anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we need to cherish what they gave us in the time that they were able to give us this art. And you kind of cheapened it when you bring them back as AI.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, especially without them saying they want to do this, that's a whole nother can of worms when someone says, hey, bring me back as much as you can because I want my family to have blah, 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 right? But like, when it's not that case, it's like, man, like, I get that you want to do more stuff with this person, but you're cheapening what it is, what it meant for them to be here in the first place by doing all this extra stuff, right? So I don't know. I'm not a fan. This is not a movie I will be watching. Yeah. I will read the reviews and all that good stuff and see how people feel about it, but it's not, I don't think I can do that. I just don't like, I'm not a fan of generative AI anyways. It's just not a good, you know, outside of, and this is, it's one of those things where it's like you can only use this in the best terms, you know, possible. And I've seen that with like, you know, Beanie Siegel with, you know, cause his lung, he can't, you know, his voice isn't what it was. And so he uses generative AI to pull from his voice, from his records to make, so when he records something now, it helps him sound like he used to sound. And I'm totally fine with that because what he's pulling is from his stuff.
Yeah.
It's only his stuff that he's pulling from. But even then that causes controversy because it's a learning machine. So the idea is that, oh, that information is stored somewhere and now we can use it later. There's been, issues with, recording, like I used to use Otter for when I would do interviews, and phone interviews and everything. And it would record the information. And then what it would do is it would put it into, words for you. It would transcribe.
Yeah.
And that would help you out. Unfortunately, they've been coming under scrutiny. I think they went to, they got, there was a lawsuit, I think this past December, because they keep that information, like all of it, it's, and they feed it into their AI to learn
how to have conversations.
Right. But it's information that is private. Like it's not for you to keep.
Yeah.
And I remember one, I think there was a journalist who said that they got an email because the, I guess the people were concerned about what he was talking to when he was interviewing someone. And he's like, you can't, that means you kept the information. Like that means you, you know what I mean? And like, this is private. Like, let's say I'm making stuff up, but let's say, I'm interviewing someone who was assaulted, sexually assaulted, and they don't want to give out their information, but you're transcribing stuff, keeps that information that they did give that I'm omitting. And then you, it, it gets out somehow. And it's like, dog, like, what are you doing? Right. And so I'm just, it's just too many underhanded things that go along with it that I kind of want to stay away from it altogether.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not healthy. It's just not healthy. And as artists, not a fan, just not a fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is our show for tonight. If you are still with us and you're listening on YouTube, feel free to subscribe, hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content coming out. People who are checking us out on Spotify, iTunes, we appreciate you. Continue to add us to your RSS feeds and subscribe and everything. That being said, I want to do a good, a strong push for YouTube because we want to get those numbers up. I've been seeing the old videos grow now. Now that we have more people subscribing, the older videos are now getting more views, which is very, very good. We want to keep that rolling. You dig? So even if you are listening on, you know, Spotify or whatever, if you could just go over to the YouTube page and hit that little sub, that would be very helpful. The people who are listening on YouTube, if you like and share, that also helps because it shows that the algorithm that we're actually doing stuff, that we're actually, you know, it's not just content being made, but people are watching, they're liking, and there's some type of connection that's happening. And so it'll keep pushing that stuff out to other people. And that's what we need, right? Also, stopping by the YouTube page to check out our the reviews that have gone up. My latest review, The Pow Pow Fish, for a film that actually came out, or I think it came out on the 20th, animated film, pretty good family animation, wholesome and all that good stuff. It's based on a book that was really popular that I had no idea was a thing. And so until I got the film and I did some research on it. And so we're going to have like film and television reviews there, as well as talking about it here. There's a lot of cool stuff. And like I said, we're going to be having more episodes of All the Sims. So go ahead and subscribe. All right. I'm not begging, but if we don't promote, then who will? You feel me?
Exactly.
And be sure to follow us on all the different socials. We have that at the bottom here with all the description-y information and whatnot. Again, trying to get more people, more eyes on it. From the people that have been watching, I've been hearing a lot of positive things, not only from liking the topics that we've been picking, but liking our insight. And so to keep that going, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Anywho,
that is all for me for tonight.
Oh, so remember everybody to wash your hands.
Yes.
After you wash your butt. Okay, right. The order is necessary here.
The order matters.
It really does. But you need to wash your faces, and then you need to wash your butts and your hands and stuff. So please do that. And your legs. It's so important. It is so important.
And use soap.
Yes. And if you are new to the African Net Sponge, use water too.
Right?
Sorry, that video was so funny. Where the dude, he's like, ow, this hurts. Like, did you turn the water
off? Right. Like, this is... Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, y'all, please take baths. And and be nice. Don't be a dick, okay? Be kind. Wear masks if you're sick. Stop coughing on people. Get vaccines. They're good for you. And don't listen to that dumbass president. Have a wonderful day wherever you are in the world. Bye-bye.